Hello, and welcome to Pause Pop, Positively Pop Culture, where we talk about the things we love enthusiastically and without guilt. I'm Carrie Gessner.
And I'm KW Taylor.
Today, we're going to talk about the Paramount Plus TV series School Spirits and the board game Korra, Rise of an Empire. So.
And yet, I know you would want to be talking about Love is Blind again.
Oh, guys, I can't stop watching it.
Am I going to need to start watching it? I feel like I've watched it through your eyes.
I know, right? I just tell you what's happening all the time. So you don't need to. But some of my work friends watch it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is great because I can talk about it. And the three of us who watch it or have watched it in the past sort of accidentally peer pressured a fourth lady into watching it. So she's been texting me updates of season one, and I'm like, yes, I love this. That's keep the awesome. Thoughts coming.
So funny. Oh, my goodness. Well, I love this for you, and I'm happy you're happy. It's just like when the funny thing is between podcasts, when we're deciding what we want to talk about, if we've really only been binging the same stuff that we've mm-hmm. already discussed, it makes it harder.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I've been very thoughtless the past 2 weeks. I've just been watching.
You know, when you get into a good groove, it's all good. That's great.
It makes me feel not as bad because I sit there and cross stitch. So.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And I've just been like obsessed with both. Like, let's get this cross stitch done. But
awesome.
Instead of watching Love is Blind, you've been watching a much better show called School Spirits. So tell us all about it.
Okay. Well, I watched this a little while ago, so I'm going to be stretching my memory a little bit. But I really enjoyed it, and I did get through it pretty quick. So this was on Paramount Plus in 2023, and I have Paramount Plus. I have Paramount Plus, no ads. Like, I'm all about Paramount Plus. I watch mm-hmm. I watch at least one thing on it every day.
Yeah.
And yet, for some reason, I didn't start this until they also put it on Netflix.
Oh.
And I think it's just like, I don't get like, for the interface on Paramount Plus is not as good for discovering new stuff the way that Netflix tends to be.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's going to come back for a second season on Paramount Plus. And I think Paramount Plus was very smart to let it be also on Netflix, at least temporarily, because mm-hmm. that is more their audience. I don't know a lot of like Gen Z who watch Paramount Plus.
That's true, yeah. Unless they're maybe really into Star Trek.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Well, although I do think there's some crossover here, I think it is a much more Netflixy type show. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Hulu type show or Disney Plus. It's just not a natural fit on Paramount Plus, but that's fine. So I watched the whole thing on Netflix, even though, again, I have Paramount Plus. But the good news is, for those who might want to try it, it's 8 episodes for season one, and it is definitely renewed and coming back for season two. I think it was just a little bit delayed from the strikes and stuff. So this is a supernatural, it's kind of like a supernatural teen drama, but I found it super compelling, despite being a moldy oldie person. So basically, this stars, or it features this main character, Maddie, who's played by Peyton List. And she is stuck in the afterlife. She has apparently disappeared. And the version of Maddie that we see starting the show is a ghost.
Oh, no. So she's definitely dead.
Well, like, no one in the still living human world knows she's dead because they can't find her body. And she can't remember what happened to her in her last few moments of life. So she assumes she's dead. She assumes she was murdered, and she wants to find herself and figure out who did it. Mm-hmm. So, but the thing is that in this universe, it's similar to the CBS and BBC series Ghosts, where when you die, you are sort of geolocationally stuck where you died. So she knows something happened to her on the school grounds because she can't leave the school grounds. Okay. So imagine being stuck in high school forever.
That would be awful.
Yeah. So the thing that's interesting is she meets this group of other ghosts who also died on the school grounds. Oh. So we have like one teacher, Mr. Martin, played by Josh Zuckerman, and he kind of runs, he clearly died in like the 1950s, but he was kind of young. And so he sort of dresses like he's got thick black glasses and he wears a little suit and stuff. And he kind of runs a little support group for any of the ghosts on campus who want to be in a support group.
That's cute.
Yeah. He was like, I think he was a science teacher, but he sort of is acting like a guidance counselor for them.
Right.
And that, I think, gives him a little bit of purpose, and it gives the ghosts a little bit of shape to their day. They're not all, like, super stoked about being in this support group, but there are ghosts on campus who don't participate in it, or at least don't participate very much.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, it's not, like, required. He can't really require them to do it. So Maddie tries to go to a support group, and they all meet in, like, a little circle in the gym and stuff. And, like, the living act and do their lives around them, and they're not able to interact. So Maddie has this still alive friend, Simon, played by Christian Flores, who is very concerned about what happened to her and stuff. She also has another friend, Nicole, played by Chiara Pichardo. But there's a bunch of ghost characters. So there's Wally, played by Milo Manheim, who died sometime probably in, like, I think it was the 80s or 90s, maybe early 90s. He was a football player who got killed during a game.
Oh, wow.
So Rhonda, played by Sarah Yarkin, is like from the 50s, and she was sort of a beatnik type. She wears all black and a little beret and stuff. But she was killed by a teacher.
Jeez.
So that's, yeah. And we also have Dawn, played by Rayanne Boone. She's like a hippie ghost from the 60s, and it's clear she had some kind of substance death, but she doesn't really participate in the support group too much. Okay. And there's some other characters, and a lot of people are, again, kind of looking for who killed Maddie. But so Maddie had a boyfriend named Javier, played by Spencer McPherson, and people start to suspect him as having been involved in her disappearance or death. But her friend Simon suddenly begins to be able to see and hear her.
Oh.
Which makes it very helpful.
Yes.
Oh, and one of Maddie's close ghost friends is Charlie, played by Nick Pugliese, and he died in like the late 80s. I don't know that they ever explain what happened. Oh, he was allergic to peanuts and he accidentally ate a peanut. Aww. At school. And he was gay. Well, he still is gay, even though he's dead. But he had been in love with a classmate of his who has become a teacher at the school.
Oh, no.
All grown up. And so there's some kind of sad things there.
Yeah.
And it's really painful that he's back as an adult. And yeah. Charlie didn't get to grow up. But so anyway, Simon, who is alive, starts to be able to see and hear Maddie. He can't see and hear any of the other ghosts. And Charlie knows about this because he and Maddie are close now. But Charlie advises Maddie, do not let the other ghosts know that you have a connection to a living.
Right.
Because they will want to, you know, use and abuse that.
Yeah.
Although Charlie ends up kind of using that to get a note to his ex-boyfriend, and it's very sweet. But anyway, so Simon has this connection with Maddie now, and so he is getting very assertive with trying to help solve her, you know, possible murder.
Mm-hmm.
Simon also has to do the thing that they do on Not Dead Yet, which is another sort of supernatural thing, where to make himself not look crazy when he's talking to Maddie, because no one else can see it,
yeah,
he uses his earbuds and makes it look like he's on the phone having this like animated conversation.
That's cute.
Yeah, and there's a couple cute moments with that. But kind of the main thing is trying to get closer and closer to what happened to Maddie, where's her body, who killed her. And also there's this other sort of mystery about how do people move on? Because there is a former ghost who Mr. Martin supposedly helped move on.
Okay.
And they sort of make reference to her off and on a little bit. And he is just like, well, she was just ready and she just moved on. And there is a moment when one of the other ghosts there does move on and they see it, but it doesn't seem like it was the same way that this other one did. So there's a little bit of ongoing undercurrent mystery of that that ramps way up toward the end of the season. And simultaneously the stuff with Maddie's murder. And like a lot of people are suspects. Some of her friends are suspects. Her boyfriend is a suspect. Even her mom is kind of a little bit involved in this. Her mom, Sandra, played by Maria Dizia, is an alcoholic. And she started to get very in the weeds with that when Maddie's dad died. And there's a lot of pain associated with that.
Oh, geez.
And there is a huge, huge twist cliffhanger at the end of season one that made my jaw drop. And I was like, everything we've thought is going on is thrown into absolute, complete, and utter chaos.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Because there's a couple episodes in the middle where I'm like, oh, this is getting a little slow. But I feel like they kind of did slow things down a little bit to get us to this really big jumping off point that I think is going to change a lot of stuff for season two in really good ways, in really, really interesting ways, in really cool ways that expand the mythology of the supernatural part. I love fantasy world building in this kind of, you know, paranormal fantasy realm. That's my jam.
You do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love it when they do different things with it. And I love it when they throw us for a loop. But there's a lot of stuff where people that you think are good, maybe not so good. People you think are bad, maybe not so bad. So yeah. And there's a really interesting, developing, maybe relationship between Maddie and Wally, which is really, really sweet. Wally gets to have some revelations about his kind of relationship to being a jock and being a football star that I think he wouldn't have gained without Maddie encouraging certain things and reflection and stuff. And yeah, it's really, really good. It's sad though. Like, I will say the tone veers wildly between kind of like murder mystery, sort of Buffy-esque urban fantasy, and then also like, and then with some comedy moments too. But then there's moments that are pretty tragic because like the whole thing is centered around dead kids, which is ultimately very sad. Like the stuff about Rhonda being murdered back in the 50s is pretty upsetting, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to maybe get through that. And the stuff with Maddie's mom is deeply sad, and her having lost her dad young and all this. So if some of this stuff is a little too heavy, maybe not for you, but it's got so much good payoff. It's got so many good kind of relationships that are being built. You definitely have found family because they have no one that they can interact with except each other. Mm-hmm. And I really like the whole thing where the ghosts are from different time periods. That's very fun.
Yeah.
Another cool thing that they do that they don't do on Ghosts, and I keep comparing it to Ghosts because that's, you know, a very similar setup.
Yeah.
Is that they can interact with physical matter.
Okay.
It's just that as soon as they touch something and interact with it, there's still a normal version of that object left in the human world, but they now have kind of their own version of it. So they can like eat, and they can like watch movies, and they can change clothes and stuff. And they do like, they have their own like shadow prom where they sort of decorate with their own stuff, but it doesn't really matter.
That's cool.
Yeah, that makes it less awful. Like, they can read books. They can like get a book in the library and read that book even though it stays on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
So that part is pretty ingenious. There's another thing where Mr. Martin, as part of their therapy, he has them each write their own obituary, which I thought was an interesting exercise in coming to terms with your own death.
Mm-hmm.
One of his big things with Maddie is trying to get her to not be so focused on solving her murder because she's not accepting the fact that she's dead.
Right.
And he thinks that she won't really move on unless she's able to do that.
Okay.
And she's very resistant. Like, this literally just happened to me and I deserve justice. So it's kind of like, and he's sort of like, well, I mean, leave that to the living people and it doesn't really matter, does it? And so that was kind of, but then you also don't know for a long time what happened to him, why he's dead, because he wasn't old.
Right.
And so something obviously very, I won't spoil it, very tragic happened to him too.
Okay.
There's also, I can't remember her name, but there's also this like ghost who lives in the school theater and just runs lights. And she's like obsessed with safety on the catwalk because clearly something bad happened to her up there. And she's like out of her mind. And if you go in the theater and go up there, she's just going to be like, where's your equipment? Where's your gloves? Where's your, you know, did you take the safety course and stuff? And she doesn't really have a lot of other things to say. There's also a really sad thing with like a group of marching band players who were in a bus crash, and they just sort of walk around in circles and play the same song all the time.
That's rough. Yeah,
it is very rough. But the fact that there are these other sort of peripheral sort of ghosts who are still stuck in a loop that may be able to get pulled out of that loop, I think they open it up for a lot of, you know, emerging secondary characters and stuff. So
yeah,
it was very ingenious. But yeah, it's just really well constructed. It is based on a graphic novel. The graphic novel actually hasn't come out yet, so I think it must have gotten optioned before it was even published. But I'm actually kind of thinking about trying to find that when it comes out.
Nice.
It's by Trinrids and Maria Nguyen, so I'm going to look for that. And yeah, it's just, I think you would actually really dig it. So I really, if nothing else, it just gets so good with that end of season world building. It's just that element alone is really worth it. So
okay. So I did see some previews for it and it looked a little bit silly. So I wasn't sure if I wanted to watch it, but that makes it sound very interesting. I do have a question. Does Maddie's murder get solved by the end of the season? Well, you know how... Okay, do you remember The Killing?
Yeah.
When they stretched it out for two seasons and I was like, this is too much.
Yeah.
I mean, it could work, but I just want to know if there's a little bit of closure there.
Well, okay. By the end of the season, we have a greater understanding of what happened to her.
Okay. Okay.
And we know who is responsible for causing it to happen.
Okay. Great. Yes. That was very couched. I liked it.
Yes. Okay.
No spoilers here, folks.
No spoilers. But like I said, the fact that it's already been renewed, please let that comfort you. So
yeah,
we will eventually find out more, I'm sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might actually start that on my dinner break tonight.
Oh, cool. I hope you love it.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thanks for recommending it.
You're welcome. Well, you played a board game recently that I think sounds interesting. So you tell us all about Korra, Rise of an Empire.
Yeah. So I had a game day yesterday. And also, I had a game day the other week because, yeah, I'm just really into games right now. But this one is called Korra. That's K-H-O with a little hat, R-A. And it's set in ancient Greece. So basically you have 9 rounds to build up your city.
Okay.
So each player gets a city just kind of based on random choice. And I had Argos. Someone had Athens. I don't remember what the last one was. But, you know, there's like Sparta, Olympus, so different sections of Greece. And you slot that into your player board. And each city has 4 developments. So like at the start of the game, you get a bonus. And then if you have enough knowledge tokens, which I'll get into later, or money, you can move up and develop your city that way. And all of the things that you do get you victory points. So also just to... For full disclosure, I lost this game.
Oh!
I was 3rd out of 3.
Oh, no. And you still liked it, though.
I did like it, yeah. But like halfway through, I was like, oh, I need to play this again so I can get better or like strategize better. One of the things that kind of killed me was I wasn't getting a lot of money. Mm. So I always had to use my action to trade, and then that took away another action. So anyway... I'll get into that in a second.
Okay.
But there are 9 rounds.
Okay.
In each round, it has an event. So the first one is just like the population increases or something. And it applies to everyone. And it usually happens during a specific phase. So there are like 6 or 7 phases to each round.
Mm-hmm.
And Also on your board, you have three tracks, economy, culture, and military. And you can go from level 1 to level 7. Mm-hmm. And every time you have to pay to go up, and sometimes it gives you a bonus to like population or victory points or taxes and stuff like that. So the round starts with the event announcement and it takes effect later. And sometimes it's like there's a drought, so everyone loses 2 money. Or the player with the highest military gets a bonus and the person with the highest, with the lowest military loses stuff. So that gives you some time to sort of maneuver so you can try to be the highest military, you know?
Okay.
Because the effect doesn't take place until later in the round.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the next part is taxes. You gain money equal to your tax level, and you can raise your tax level by like going up on the culture board, culture level, or getting some achievements like first person to 10 victory points. And stuff like that. And that's where I really had issues. I couldn't move up on the tax board. So I was only getting 1 coin at the beginning of each round. And my friends were getting like 5. And I was like, oh gosh, guys. Okay. But so now I know for next time. So you gain your money for the round. And then it had a really cool mechanic, which comes next, where you roll your dice. So you get 2 dice. And you have a 3rd in reserve if you move high enough on the culture level. If you move up to level 4, you can add a 3rd die. Sorry. So you roll your dice. They're 6-sided, so you can roll 1 through 6. And then you have 7 tokens, like action tokens. And they're all numbered. So 0 is philosophy. You get a philosophy token. 1 is legislature. 2 is culture, 3 is trade, 4 is military, 5 is play a politics card, which I'll get into in a second, and 6 is development, so that would help you move up on your development, your city development, as long as you meet the requirements. So you roll 2 dice at the beginning, and then you secretly put an action card under each die, but like if I rolled a 1, I would have to play the 1 card, which is legislature, or the 0 card, which is philosophy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. If I wanted to do, like, put down the 2 card, I would have to lose a population to make up the difference between the die roll and what I want to do. Okay.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So you have 2 actions each turn, basically. And some of it depends on like how well you roll your dice or how much population you have that you can make up for the difference. And then later on, once you increase your culture level, you can get that 3rd die and do 3 actions each round. So the actions are stuff like I said, you get a philosophy token, which you can trade in for different things. You can like pick up some politics cards. You can play a politics card. You can trade, which is what I ended up doing a lot, where you can get some money. And you can use that money to turn it into a knowledge token, which I will explain in a second. Sorry if this is in a confusing order, but I'm doing my best. And then 4 is military, and you can go explore and stuff like that. So... okay, politics cards, you can get them in your actions and you can play them with your actions. And you have a number, I think you start with 5. And there are 3 different kinds. So there are instantaneous, like I played one that was like, move your military up by 4. Or get 3 drachma, what do they call the money? I just sometimes call it money. And those take effect instantaneously and they don't give you an effect in the future. And then there's another one that is continuous, so it'll take effect throughout the game. Like I had one, if I was the lowest on the tax level, which I was, I could get 4 victory points at tax time. So I moved up a little bit that way. And that would take effect every round.
Okay.
And then there's one that is end of game, like victory points. So I think one was like, I can add whatever knowledge tokens I have to my victory points or something like that. So if you play it, you'll put it down and you want to like work toward that goal throughout the game. But you have to be able to pay for your politics cards. So some do require money, but some are just like, you need to have an exploration token in like military, or there are three different symbols. It's like a harp, a helmet, and a vase. So I don't know like exactly what they stood for, but but it was like, you need at least one vase in your repertoire and one harp in order to play this card. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
They probably are something like culture and
yeah,
like whatever, and military. I don't. Yeah. Or
and probably maybe like philosophy or something like that.
Yeah.
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 And the way you get those tokens is you play your military action. So you can move up your military and then you go explore, which is there's like a board with tokens on it. And it'll say like, you have to be at a level 3 of military in order to take this token, but you will lose one military if you take it.
Oh.
So there's usually a trade-off. Like there are a few that are, oh, you don't have to lose anyone right at the start. And then the farther you get down the line, it's like, oh, you have to be at a level 10 military and you're actually going to lose 8 people. So you're going to go back to 2.
Okay.
And then the farther down you get on the chart, you also get extra stuff. Like you get that token, but you also get like 5 extra money, or you move up on the tax thing and stuff like that. So I've lost my place. Okay, yeah. So during your turn, you're like trying to accumulate money. You're trying to accumulate these knowledge tokens that will let you play your politics cards and stuff like that. And then the next phase is you progress on your tracks. So at the end of each, near the end of each round, you get to move up 1 on your economy, culture, or military. But you also have to pay the associated cost. So like to move up from level 1 to level 2, it may cost 2 coins, it may cost 1 coin. To move up from level 6 to level 7, it may cost like 9 coins.
Okay.
So you have to, you can move up as long as you have the money for it. So that also killed me because a couple times, I think like 2 rounds, I wasn't able to move up because I didn't have enough money.
Oh.
I know. And then if you have philosophy tokens, you can move up again or choose a different track to move up on. So again, the tracks were economy, culture, and military. But still, you have to pay the associated cost. So one of the players was like rolling in money. And they just he just got like kept moving up on the scale. And I was like, oh my goodness. So the lesson is always tax your people heavily. I don't know.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah. Okay, so that's almost the end. And then is the event resolution. So this is where the effect takes place from the round. So like, you know, everyone gets this or everyone loses money, or the highest in something gains a bonus and the lowest has to give up stuff. So you're working toward that throughout the round. And then comes the achievement phase where there are like special things. So like I said, if you hit 10 victory points first, if you hit like level 4 in the economy, if you hit 6 in the military, if you hit like 12 in population. So, and these are all on the board to remind you, and you get all these cool tokens and stuff. So the achievement phase is like, okay, if anyone has hit that, you can put your token in the achievement section. And if you're the only person to hit it that round, you can choose a victory point or to level up your taxes. And if it's a tie, then you both level up your taxes.
Okay.
Okay. So there are a few other things that you can do with philosophy tokens that I'm not going to like get into, but you play it for 9 rounds.
Okay.
Which is kind of nice. Like it's less you know, someone has to hit a goal or people have to hit like 6 out of 12 goals or something. And it's like, you know exactly how long the round is going to be. And a lot of stuff takes place simultaneously. So you're not really waiting for people to go. You're all kind of choosing what to do and you're all rolling your dice at the same time. You're all unveiling the actions that you chose. The only time you have order is when you do the action tokens, like associated with your dice. Like I said, they're labeled 0 through 6. So you resolve those in order.
Okay.
So if like someone played a 1, I played a 2, we would go in numerical order for that.
Okay.
So does all of that make sense?
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of Civilization, sort of.
Okay.
But with a more finite like endpoint and a little bit of Catan and a little bit of Machi Koro. So yeah, I've played similar things and
It's not like super unique, but there's like a lot to think about while you're playing. And like I said, I do like the finite end time because, you know, towards the end, stuff ramps up and you're like, oh, no, I got to do this and this and this before the game ends. And then at the end, like once the game, once the last event happens, you get victory points for like anything on the politics cards you put down and like the victory points you already earned. And then, oh, the knowledge tokens. So there are two different kinds. There's like minor and major, and the major have a laurel around it and they cost more. But if you have the major knowledge tokens, I think you get victory points for those at the end.
Okay.
So you're also having to keep in mind of what's going to give you points at the end of the game.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was really fun. It didn't take too long to learn.
Okay.
Like once we got into it, like by round 2 or 3, we were like a well-oiled machine. Like, okay, now it's tax time. Now you roll your dice. So yeah, it's pretty easy to learn and not terribly hard to play. So I'd really like to play it again and
cool, you know,
get better at it because I was bad.
Oh. So I did not look up the pictures of it online, but is there a map? Is it on a map?
It's not on a map. No.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Wow, that was like a wounded cat or something.
I know. You know I love a map. I love a map.
I know. Maps are great. I'm so sorry. But no, there's no map with that. I know.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
No, the art is really nice. I think you would enjoy it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm actually going to I'm gonna look it up.
Oh, my gosh.
Koru. Wait.
K-H-O-R-A.
Okay. Oh, the art is pretty.
Yeah.
Listeners, the art is very pretty. Yeah. Oh, I do like when there's money in a game. So having money tokens, that's good.
Yes. Yeah. One of my friends was like, I like this because there are lots of little pieces.
I do. I love lots of little pieces.
I know. It just makes you think like, oh, this game is gonna be good.
yeah
we did watch a video to help us set up, and
oh, okay,
I think it was sponsored by Board Game Geek or something, but this guy was like, you can also buy the metal money tokens for specifically for this game, and I was like, oh, I might do that.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Right now they're just cardboard.
Yeah. Oh, that would be so much more satisfying.
Right?
Oh, yeah. There's a version of Monopoly that uses credit cards instead of paper money, and I'm against that.
Oh.
I think that's stupid.
Yeah, I don't know if I would like
that. It would probably make it go faster. Yeah, I mean, it would accelerate things. There's benefits, but like you just always have this little debit card that's in a little machine that reads how much is on it, and you just like plunk it in other people's little machines, and I like paper money.
I like things that I can touch.
Yes.
And like keep track of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. I get it. Well, that sounds fun. I do think I would enjoy it. I think that sounds fun. Although on the other hand, I didn't super duper love Settlers of Catan when I finally played that in real life.
I mean, I think that's okay. It's sort of, yeah, I mean, Catan's not the one I go to, like, I'm like, oh yeah, let's play Catan. But if someone were like, hey, do you want to play? I'll be like, sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. It's okay. I'll never make you play Catan.
Okay, thank you. You might like Machikoru, though, because it is pretty similar, but it's cutesier.
Okay.
It's like, imagine a version of Catan and this mashed up where everything's adorable.
Okay.
So that's that.
Cool. I'll look that up.
Yeah. Yeah, look that up. I don't remember how to spell it.
I think it's M-A-C-H-I space
yeah.
K-O-R-O.
Yeah.
Is what I'm seeing. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as a reminder, you can find School Spirits on both Paramount Plus and Netflix. So whichever service you have. I don't know if season two is probably just going to be on Paramount Plus to start. Mm-hmm. So maybe if you've got that, watch it on there. And then I assume we can find Cora anywhere you find board games.
Yeah, I believe so. Probably not like a department store like Target, but specialized game stores online and your friendly local game store.
Yeah.
Next time, we'll be talking about some more great pop culture stuff, so be sure to join us soon.
Our theme music is by Joseph McDade.
You can find our website at positivelypopculture.com, and from there you can find the link to the merch store, as well as our email, positivelypopculture@gmail.com.
And please rate and review the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening. Stay healthy and safe, and join us next time for another episode of Pause Pop.